Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on Staros Entertainment.tv, Indy100.com radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning in my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all you guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today. If you're in the cool actresses, producers, or voice artists, we got my dear friend Alexis Iacono coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starrosentertainment.tv. That's www.starrosentertainment.tv. Also, if you want to see our in-studio guest photos, such as our lovely guest of the hour, Alexis Iacono, go to our Facebook page over at Staros Entertainment over on Facebook. And if you like the music we're going to be playing today, let us know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And last but not least, if you want to hit me up on socials, that's at Tyrone Tan, T-Y-R-O-N-E. T-A-N is Nancy, N is Nancy, on formerly known as Twitter, which is now X. And then thanks to the hacker there, at Tyrone Tan Official over on Instagram. And then there's this new thing called Threads. So at Tyrone Tan Official on Threads. And then if you really, really want to hit me up on Facebook, that's Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. All right, without further ado, first off, I want to say thank you to all our awesome guest co-hosts, because we had a lot of guest co-hosts throughout the seasons, along with our guests, but our guest co-hosts that we rotate throughout the seasons. My guest co-host is off for the day working on a project, but we do want to say thank you to all the awesome guest co-hosts that have come in to banter with me in the beginning of the hour and do some movie reviews. So we're going to do something special today. So instead of bringing my guest co-host, we're going to actually bring in my guest early, and then we can talk some movie reviews, and then we go deep dive into this prolific talent's career and all that kind of good stuff. She's been on before, but now she's soloing today, and so we could talk a lot more about her career and all that kind of good stuff. So without further ado, I'm going to bring her in a nice traditional way. Bring her in on a, you know, she's like royalty to me. And inside, she's this beautiful human being inside and out. She's a dear friend. She's always been loyal to me, and I thought we'd bring her in a style where to make her feel special. So we thought we'd bring her in a nice, like a Cinderella-esque carriage, make her feel special, make her feel like a princess, and you know, make her feel like just really special. So what I'm going to do, we're going to do that. We're going to open up the studio door there, open a whistle in on the horses to bring her in on the Cinderella-esque carriage, and then we'll bring her in. Again, she is an actress. She is a producer. She's a voice artist. You might have heard her voice from games like World of Warcraft, Fallout, Grand Theft Auto, and she has this new film called The Carnal Soul, which will be premiering at the Credo 23 Film Festival, which you can get tickets. Again, it's March 28th and 29th. You can get tickets at the Credo, that's C-R-E-D-O 23filmfest.com. That's Credo, C-R-E-D-O 23filmfest.com. We're going to talk more about her film and all that kind of good stuff. And she also did a documentary called Long Live the King. And it's just a lot of stuff. So we're going to bring in, we're going to press that button there, and then we're going to bring her into the studio on a count of three. Whistle in, one, two, and three. Whistle in on the horses. Uh-oh. Here she comes into the studio on the Cinderella-esque carriage. She's waving to all the fans out there. They're throwing roses at her. I don't know, guys. I don't know if she's taken. They're throwing numbers, I think, as well. She's stopping for some selfies for people. Signing some autographs. Oh, look at all those roses. Oh, my gosh. We're trying to tame everybody down. Here she comes. Waving to all the paparazzi out there as well. Stopping, posing. Oh, here she comes. Coming down the little steps. Coming down the carriage. Into the studio. Here she is. She's an actress. She's a producer. She's a voice artist, and she's the producer of the new film, Carnal Soul, premiering at the Credo 23 Film Festival, March 28th, 29th. My dear friend, Alexis Iacono. Welcome.
Hello. Wow. What an intro. Wait, hold on. I'm still signing autographs. Yeah, give me 1 second.
Well, welcome, what? Alexis Iacono, to StarOsEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Oh, she's all finished. She's still signing there.
Still signing. There's a big line.
Yo, look at that. Guys, I don't know. You've got to ask her.
Wait, can we do that selfie again? I didn't like that.
Oh, look at that. They can't even take a selfie right then. All right. I'd say they're nervous. They're probably nervous. Yeah. Anyways, okay, welcome again. Alexis Iacono, actress, producer, voice artist from the new film, The Carnal Soul, premiering at the Credo 23 Film Festival, March 28th, 29th. Welcome back, Alexis Iacono.
Thank you for having me again.
Cool.
Hello.
Well, cool. Was it a year or?
No. When I was here?
Yeah, last one, was it a year?
No, less.
Less? Are you sure? I could have sworn I had a memory photo pop, but maybe I could be wrong.
No, okay. I think it was...
Well, you had a film...
I think it was October.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I was at another film festival, and...
For some reason, it feels longer, but I guess maybe because...
I think a lot has happened.
Yeah, exactly.
world.
Well, especially we had the fires and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I think it just feels like there's so much that happened.
And
yeah.
January alone was just the longest month ever for everyone.
But
so,
cool. Well, glad to have you back and safe, and glad that you weren't really too affected. I don't know. Were you affected by chance by anything?
Well, oddly enough, I was in New York when it happened. Oh. I was only supposed to do a 2-week stint, and then I put on the news and everyone was like, I think you should stay there for like another week or two.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, but I've had friends where their family, their childhood homes burnt down. It was just, it was awful. Awful. And oddly enough, like just 2 weeks ago, I was in New York again, and Long Island had weird fires.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Like, it was just like wildfires. I'm like, what is going on here? So, yeah.
Well, hearts should go out to all those still that have been affected, because it's not just a couple weeks. I mean, people have been affected for the rest of almost lives, pretty much.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so even though you're not seeing it in the news a lot, but there we have a lot of people. So blessings to everybody there. And so let's maybe get back on hopefully on a lighter note. So what we do, I don't know if you got the memo. Did you get the memo?
Yes.
Normally we have a guest co-host, but we'll do some movie reviews. But since you're here, we could maybe have a little time just do a quick movie review, and then we'll talk more about you, Alexis Iacono. really quick, have you seen any movies lately? Whether in the theater or just out in the, at home, maybe?
Actually, there's another film that I actually saw today. We'll get to that in a second. But last night I saw Trap.
Okay.
With Josh Hartnett.
Okay, well, let's do a quick intro. Trap, rated PG-13, thanks to IMDb. Here's a little synopsis of Trap. A father and his teen daughter attend a pop concert only to realize they've entered the center of a dark and sinister event. Directed by M. Night Shyamalan and written as well, and starring the awesome Josh Hartnett, Ariel Donahue, I believe, Salika Malin. I do apologize if I'm mispronouncing. And a plethora of other talent. I actually got to see this as well when it was out in the theaters. And you got to see what? On streaming?
Netflix.
Okay, just
last night.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So what did you think?
I have, this sounds terrible because I'd love to be hired by him, but at the same time, I have a love-hate relationship with M. Night in his movies. They're either very hit or very miss. But there was something weird. It was very, I liked it. I did. I liked the style. There was a lot going on. His daughter, the young lady that the name you couldn't pronounce, that's his daughter, actually. Yeah, she's a pop singer. She's the movie.
So it's like Salika Shyamalan.
She's great.
Is it spelled the same way?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay.
So last name.
I don't know why, because I know his, I just didn't click in my, I mean, I knew after watching it again, it was played by a daughter, but I don't know why, maybe it's not seeing the name next to it. Like, so Salika Shyamalan. So
well, it took me a second also, and I looked her up. I'm like, oh, wow, this is his daughter. Yeah. And people have that love-hate relationship where it's nepotism, but I gotta tell you, I liked her. I think she's super talented.
I think for the character, what it was, and I think I don't know the backstory, if it was developed for her in that sense or it just happened to fit, but it worked.
Well, what I liked about the movie was I thought it was just very well done how it was written around this concert. Mm-hmm. But for me, I guess I'm coming from an actor standpoint. I really liked how Josh Hartnett portrayed this serial killer. Like, you'll see the movie. Yep. Everything is very grandiose. You have to see it, like, twice.
Got it.
I saw it once, and I'm ready to see it again because I'm like, oh, wow, I see the how they stylize this. It's basically a portrayal of a serial killer, like, really uncomfortable in his skin in reality. You see him in everyday life really trying to be this happy-go-lucky person, and you actually feel that there's this, like, underlining of, like, oh, he's suffering inside. Like, every word, every conversation, except when he's with his daughter, that's when he is really grounded. But the rest of it, you see him wanting, you feel like you want to explode with him. Not that you share the same serial killer type, you know.
Yeah.
But there's an intensity and underlining where it's like, oh, this person is actually suffering. And I really, usually with serial killer movies, I can't compare. Silence of the Lambs is great, but you really, the development of those characters are beautiful, but you really don't understand what's going on inside. And I feel with this film, they captured that.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was very well done. The young actress was great.
Was it Allison Pill? I believe Allison Pill.
No, Allison Pill was the was the wife. Oh,
Ariel Donahue.
But I just thought it was very well shot. The movement was really good. And pretty much, really, that's it. I don't really have anything bad to say about it. I really
awesome. So you recommend checking it out?
Recommend it. But people are. I'm already going to know that people will be like, wow, that was really over the top. That was really this. I got it.
Yeah.
I got why it was over the top.
You know what I did like about it? I like how they actually was, how he was meticulously detailed the whole concert as if it's a pop singer of a current day of like really big, who I'm assuming he's kind of, not mocking, what do you call it? Emulating in a way, or what is the word? Because like the pop singer that they're showing is, you know, obviously kind of, is she playing a fictitious or...
Yes, I think so.
It was cool how detailed they got with from music videos to social media stuff to all that stuff. So I thought it was kind of cool.
Okay. Yes, I thought it was. I don't know. I liked it.
Cool. All right. So it. Alexis Iacono recommends checking out again. I got to see it in the theaters, but she got to just see it on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's out there on streaming. Again, it's called Trap, a film written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan, starring the awesome Josh Hartnett and many more. So check it out.
I have one more real quick. Okay. Today I saw the documentary October 8th, and it has to do with Palestine and the Israelis, what happened with October 7th.
Is this the one, let me see, is it with revolving
Deborah Messing?
Deborah Messing. Yeah. It's directed by Wendy Sachs.
Yeah.
Here's a little quick synopsis. Thanks to IMDb. It's called October 8th. The emergence of anti-Semitism on college campuses, in social media, and on the streets since October 7th, 2023, when Hamas attacked Israel. Mm-hmm. Directed by Wendy Sachs. And you said it stars Deborah Messing, Malcolm Rapoport, Noah Tisby. Mm-hmm. So is it a documentary or
it's
it a film?
It's a documentary.
But are they in it?
They're in it and they talk about it. And
okay, so
and, you know, obviously we won't get into politics. Yeah. I'm terrible at it also. Like, I would never. But... people need to see this movie, this documentary. For me, it was, besides an education of really what's going on with the college campuses, which is just a whole other garbage dumpster fire in its own. They do really tap into how media controls everything and how they can smear and how they can exaggerate. And all it takes is just one post.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. And it just... it doesn't matter if they're wrong. Once whoever gets that word out first, that's it.
Well, that's also in general, like, not just about politics.
Sure.
But it could be even a career. Oh, like, we know how many stars out there that put one wrong tweet or something like that, and then something happens because someone, whatever. And I'm like, whoa, it's like a whole different time of when probably me and you grew up in the industry and read it. So I always tell people, always got to be careful, you know, and also whatever it's, not just what you say, but what you do, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a whole different world.
I do recommend it.
So
it was excellent.
Well, it's definitely interesting. Now I'm looking at it. I never heard about it till now, but it looks interesting. I'm looking at the little trailer on the screen here.
And it really tells you. I mean, people really talk about. They break it down on how it started, the backstory, the history. It's just. If people are a little confused, like myself, like it, you know, I've been hearing both sides, and it's just like, oh, it's just so much. This will explain it.
Awesome. So again, the documentary, it's out there. Where did you check it out on? It was in theaters, or did you?
In theaters at Universal Studios.
So you saw it in the theaters. Okay, so it's out there in the theaters. It's called October 8th. It's a documentary directed by Wendy Sachs and has a plethora of people from Deborah Messing, Michael Rappaport, Noah Tishby, and a lot of others that are in this as well. So again, and Alexis Iacono recommends that. Yep. All right. So she recommends in the theaters, October 8th, and then on streaming, Trap. Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. Now let's talk about you, Alexis
Iacono. It's about time, Cameron. Please, God.
So I don't know if you got the other memo. We like to audience to get to know you, if not fans already, to get to even become more fans and understand a little bit about you and hopefully support you and all your stuff. And I know you were on here before with your awesome
producing partner, but also director. Yeah. She's jack of all trades, master of all. I'm jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, so. And she was awesome. She's
Alex Esso.
Yeah, Alex Esso. What's up? Here's my recap from that. She's just as a beautiful human being as you.
Thank you.
And you guys are both sincere, kind-hearted, just dear people. Thanks. You know, and you could click and find out something really quickly about somebody. And I guess me and you have been in this industry very quickly. You could sense people's personalities, but also them as a person in general really quickly, in my opinion. And she had the same vibe with you and same vibe as everything. So we want to wish her hello.
Yes, and that's how, I mean, we've known each other for some time now, and we bonded immediately. I don't know if we spoke about it in the last show, but it was a magazine shoot, and it was for a horror magazine shoot. And we were both doing horror stuff, and she just wrapped Starry Eyes.
Got it. Yeah.
And for those, that's another movie to recommend. I'm not just being biased.
I haven't seen it yet, but I saw trailers of it. And once you told me she was coming,
I wanted to look.
It just looks interesting, really interesting. And I think I'll relate to a lot to it as well.
Oh, I saw it in the theater. It was a 10-year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And she invited me. It was like about a couple of months ago. Oh, you all have to see it. And you have people that are in the industry that are listening to this, that, like, you need to see it.
Yeah, no, that's what it relates to. It seems like a lot of people relate to a lot of it.
Yeah, it's a real good film.
That's awesome. Well, let's go back, backtrack here.
Yeah.
So for those who know you, we want to start off with this hard-hitting question. Uh-huh. Where are you born and raised?
Bayside, Queens. I'm a New York chick.
And again, for those that maybe missed that last show, but you know, tuning in for the first time on for you, did you know growing up you always wanted to be either acting, producing, or voice artist, or in the entertainment industry?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. My parents were not stage parents. I was that person.
Ah, what was it that, like, what was it that triggered you to wanting to be in industry, or was there someone that inspired you into the?
John Cassavetes and Denzel Washington.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
What was the films particularly?
Cassavetes, I was a young little girl, I'm probably dating myself now, HBO, and they had a Cassavetes film. Oh, gosh. Now I'm blanking out on it. It was with Susan Sarandon and Molly Ringwald, Tempest.
Oh, okay.
And don't ask me why.
Okay.
I saw this movie and I asked my mom who this actor was. And she looked at me oddly. She was like, that's John Cassavetes. Why? Yeah. I was like, oh, I like him. Lo and behold, I did not realize there was a little girl obsession. And so my mom was like, you would always talk about his acting and his movies and him. About maybe less than a year later, my father said, jump on a plane, meet me in London. Real quick segue, my father, he's alive, but he was a prolific sports photographer for Sports Illustrated magazine.
Got it.
So during the height of Sports Illustrated magazine, my dad was one of the top five photographers.
Awesome.
So he... I had a very eclectic life. So, you know, in a moment's notice, he was like, hop on a plane to London. And mom and I were like, okay. We hop on a plane. I'm in the aisle seat. And I'm an only child. I say that within reason because I observe everyone and just stare at everyone. And I'm looking at everyone. I'm turning around and I turned fully and I made eye contact with John Cassavetes.
Wow. Now, did he know he was going to be on the plane? Or the, no, did he know he was there? Or you, he just happened to...
He was on the same plane going to London.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. I didn't look because my dad said, jump on the plane because we were going to meet him. He was on assignment.
Yeah.
And we get on the plane and I'm just sitting down. I'm just a little girl.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking around and I just happened to turn my whole body around and we locked eyes.
Wow.
And I turned around. I'm like, Mom... John Cassavetes is on the plane. And she literally, I remember this, she looked at me and says, would you stop with the John Cassavetes? And I was like, no, he's on the plane. And she turned around and then she sits back down and she looked at me and did this, oh my God, it's John Cassavetes. And she looked, she's like, what are you going to do? And I remember this clear as day. I said, I don't know, I'll wait, let's let the plane take off. Plane takes off and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna talk to him. And she's like, what are you gonna say? I'm like, I don't know. I was already like dabbling in the industry, tap dancing, all this stuff. And I approached him and I said, hi, Mr. Cassavetes.
About how old are you?
I was
like before teenage.
Eight.
Oh wow. Okay.
So I was a little girl that you're a little recognized kid. Okay, him. Well, okay. Oh, I recognized him.
Wow, that's cool.
And so
he's probably like, whoa, yeah.
Well, he's a curmudgeon-y guy, and if people, you know, those who know his movies, he's, you know, he's, you know, and so he looked at me. He had his arms crossed, and he looked at me, and he said, "Yes." I said, "I just, you know, want to let you know I really love your movies," and he's like, "Really?" And he turns. And he's sitting with this blonde.
Yeah.
And it was Jenna Rollins.
Oh, wow.
And so he turns back and he says, really? So what movie did you like me in? And I said, oh, I loved Tempest, but by far I loved Rosemary's Baby. And he just stared like,
what is
this 8-year-old? Yeah. Where's your mom? Yeah, like, you know? And so apparently, like, we had this banter. And that was it. And I didn't know this until a couple of years ago. My mom's like, do you remember the rest of the story? I said, no. She's like, well, we get off the plane and there's the turnstile to get the luggage. And you kind of just, you know, you're a kid. You kind of already forgot about it. Like it wasn't a big, and you were dancing and, you know, spinning around and he was staring at you the whole time. And you turned and you locked eyes with him again. And you did this like 8-year-old wave like across the way, and like he was still trying to be cool Cassavetes, but he turns left and right and he just like did the little wave back and smiled, and that was it. That was my Cassavetes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to see him ever since?
No, he passed away.
Did he have
lung cancer?
Oh, geez.
He smoked like a chimney.
Oh gosh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, his son. I never met his son Nick, but I mean,
That's what I'm thinking. Nick. Okay, yeah, that's awesome though. That's an awesome story.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I got to meet him.
That's cool that you got to meet someone that inspired you.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So your dad was in photography, as you said, but they weren't really technically in the acting field or
producing.
But in some ways, he's probably encountering a lot of probably celebrity figures.
Oh yeah.
So was that anything that inspired you to maybe not go in that direction, or is it
acting
was always
No, it was always. I mean, So, real quick, in Bayside, across the street, there was a talent manager, apparently. Her name is Muriel Carl. She passed. And I was 10 months old. This is what my mom said, 10 months old. And she knocked on my mom's door and said, look, I'm casting for this commercial for the Purina Ralston, not dog food. Purina Ralston, they did cereal, like a baby food cereal back in the day. They said they're looking for a Native American Indian. I was born with a full head of hair. Like, wow. Full head. So I was 10 months old with this, like, and I looked Native American.
What is your background? Do you mind me asking what's your background?
I'm Spanish, Italian, Dutch, and Irish.
Okay, I would not have guessed a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you have a mix of something, but we're not sure.
Yeah.
Beautiful black hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then other than that, let's see if I would have guessed probably Italian. Mm-hmm. And but a mix of something else that I would not be able to know what I wouldn't know unless she's told me.
Well, it's I have a well, and that was like we can talk about casting because that was, you know, back in the day I was considered ambiguous. Oh, you know, yeah. I would go for Italian roles, and then I'd sit with girls with like kinky Italian hair that were a little maybe chubby or what have you. Not that I was a size two, but it was like, you know, the real Guinea look. And I walk in and I'm like, ah, shit. All of a sudden, I didn't look Italian. I go up for like Spaniard stuff, and then you'd see all like the Spaniards, and I'm like, ah, okay, I'm Spaniard, but I don't look this Spaniard, you know? No. So people thought I was Japanese, Hawaiian, like all I was everywhere.
I grew up and I remember auditioning with certain people. I would go for I'm not even Hispanic, but I'm, you know, Filipino Chinese. But I remember getting a guest star role with. It was supposed to be a Latin gang, and I'm like the only one that, and you know, the casting didn't realize, they're like, they just thought darker skin and whatever, and then you look Hispanic, and then, but then maybe to others I would seem Hispanic, but then to actual people that are Spanish would be like, no, you're not Hispanic, bro.
Yeah.
And I remember, but I got this role, whatever. And it's interesting, but they just, the way, I know how it was. They just, whatever, they felt you fit, they would cast you.
Yeah, casting, it was, and look, I'm not talking smack on casting directors or what have you, but it was difficult, you know, and well, going back real quick. My first commercial basically was I was the Purina Ralston commercial, but that's not what did it. It was just I was a tap dancer. I loved tap dancing, and I was that person that was like, Mom, I want two classes, not one. Acting, I went to Lee Strasberg Theater Institute. Carla Brothers was my acting teacher. Wow. I loved her, and it was just like I was surrounded by dancers, actors. I was on stage at a very young age. I'm a cellist for about 30 years. I play now, you know, Mozart's rolling in his grave when I play. But back in the day, I was a professional cellist, and I was always, it was just me. And also being surrounded, I guess, by a very different background, traveling the world, seeing different things, eating different foods, meeting everyone, all walks of the earth. My father was a very well, was a very well respected sports photographer. Yeah. And it was like the top five. And he, you know, there's what, 55 Super Bowls? My dad covered 50.
Wow.
My dad, a World Series, the Olympics, you name it.
Wow. Did he get to bring you to any of those, or were you?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Oh, I used to assist him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I used to assist him. So did it have anything to do with my career? No, but it was just, I acclimated so well. So it's like, you know, when my dad, you know, was awarded for his sports, you know, his photos, you know, Derek Jeter would be there and all these people. And it was like a no-brainer for me. And I wasn't being a snob.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how I was.
Around,
I was just around it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But also it kind of gave you a sneak peek to, quote unquote, the, not to say it's based on this, but when you see high profile people, you know, you get to see how they act, how they be with. So of course that you kind of get you acclimated to that, especially because in the industry, there's similarities to what happens in the acting world, the directing world, when you get to certain levels of dealing with people.
100%. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still geek out, but like, you know, after 10 seconds, it's, you know, back to normal.
So then were they supportive when you said you wanted to become an actress?
Support is not even a word. They said, you're going to do it, you're fine. It was a no-brainer for them.
It was, some parents are like, I don't know about that, you know, but they were awesome.
They just let me be. I was a very independent person. I wasn't, and people say, oh, you're an only child, you were spoiled. I'm like, no, I just did my own thing. I was wildly independent.
So then you left, and then when you came out to LA, I'm going to go out to LA and I'm going to do this.
Well,
what was it?
That was later in my career, like when I was I'm youngish, but like I was already an adult when that happened.
Got it.
So I was bi-coastal for ages. I'm going to work my way back, but I was on MTV for a while. I was on the Grind, the TV dance show.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Is it Eric Nies?
Eric Nies.
Oh, wow. I don't know why.
Oh, wow. You remember? Eric.
That was when like MTV was like the good, like, because I had a lot of friends that were like, they would do, like, I remember I had friends that were like guests on whatever shows, like some of the, they, I remember going to the premiere, I was dear friends with Brittany Murphy, the late Brittany Murphy, and I remember going to the MTV Beach House for the premiere of Clueless, and it was on the beach on the shore, and you know, I just remember, oh, this is cool, and they had the Jumbotron in the water, and then the couches, but what they didn't, I don't think, accounted for was by five the tide would come in, and we were getting all wet. We're all sitting in the things, and I'll just remember going, it looked cool, but I don't think there was a lot of thought of knowing the tide would roll in, and all the, and we were getting all wet, and now all of a sudden, anyways.
Well, it was cool because I danced at the beach house.
Oh, really?
Oh, awesome. Yeah. We would be shipped out from New York City to the Hamptons, and we would dance and for hours. What people didn't realize was that it wasn't like a one-hit thing, like, oh, we're going to dance for an hour and go home. We danced for like 10 episodes.
Wow.
So we danced for 10 hours.
Damn.
So it was like we would be on for a day, like work, and then they would spread it out, obviously. So it wouldn't be until 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, we would have to be back in the studio.
I forgot what the grind was. Okay, he hosted it, but what was the concept?
They
would dance? Just dance or no?
Yeah, it was a modernized version of American Bandstand.
That's what it was. Okay.
That's all it was.
And then they would have guest performers or something like that.
Yeah, and you know, you got to see up and coming people, and it was awesome. Really cool. We were invited to cool shit, you know, and then I was really excited. I was picked out by I think it was him himself or his group, but David Wayne, and he, I was on the show The State. I would be like in the, you know, the sketches, the State sketches, you know, and it was fun, you know. And it was just a very wild and cool time, and traveled a lot. We went to L.A. and we also filmed at Zuma Beach.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was very interesting. And that was my sort of introduction to L.A. back in the day.
Yeah. Which when it was, I always say the good Hollywood time frame, because that was, even though if you look back, I mean, in comparison to now, it was a different beast. I mean, I remember still the days of the payphone when you're going for the auditions and you'd pull over and then, but it was just like you would go all over the place for auditions from like Santa Monica to whatever. But it's like, it's sad because I said a lot of friends that are in the industry now are starting out and they don't even know what it's like to meet someone, a casting director, in person. And it's just sad. I'm like, wow, like there's a difference because you still were performing, but the vibe could be, because you may not have the greatest audition, but if the cast director liked your vibe, they might bring you back for something else or something, whatever it was.
Well, that's how I was cast. I mean, basically a majority of us. But no, today, even like pitching as a producer, I would try to get myself in the room and I would have other people in the past I've worked with, and like, oh no, we don't do that anymore at Zooms. I was like, fuck no, there's no, we're going to pitch a show and the Zoom's going to be in and out and your kid is going to be in the background. No, no offense to kids. It's very different. It's not, I don't think it's that great. They missed We did have it at a great time.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to cut the music break first, and then we're going to come back and talk more about your new film called The Carnal Soul, which is going to be premiering at the Credo 23 Film Festival, which is March 28th and 29th. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get tickets, go to credo23filmfest.com. That's credo23filmfest.com. Again, it's premiering there over at March 28th and 20th. You got two showings? Or?
Just one.
Oh, one showing. Okay, wait, so yeah. March 28th?
March 28th, we're opening night around 8:30 p.m.
Got them. Okay, great. So check it out. And then social media is really quick.
Oh, great. Me. Instagram, Alexis, A-L-E-X-I-S, Iacono, I-A-C-O-N-O. Same thing as Facebook. I'm not really a Facebook or Twitter person, but I'm an Instagram person.
Got it. So since my guest host is here, maybe you could introduce the song. I know you don't know it, but maybe you could improv with me here. So I'm going to tell you the name and then the song, and then you could just introduce it as well. So, okay, the name of the artist is Barbara Falzoni.
Okay.
And then the song is called Smoking Words. Okay, so can you do the improv and so introduce this song?
Oh, yes. Oh, I thought for some reason you wanted me to start singing it or something. No, that's frightening.
You'll do the intro to the
Falzoni?
Yeah, Barbara Falzoni and Smoking Words is the song. So, on a count of three. One, two, three. Here it goes. Alexis Iacona introducing this song of the hour.
I hope you enjoy Barbara Falzoni in Smoking Words.
There you go. Oh, there you go. One more time.
I hope you enjoy the song by Barbara Falzoni, Smoking Words.
There we go again. Barbara Falzoni, Smoking Words. And we'll be back more with the awesome actress, producer, voice artist, Alexis Iacona. Back here again. Here is Barbara Falzoni with Smoking Words. And we'll be right back. What was that name again? One more time.
Barbara Falzoni, Smoking Words.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
You know that I've been dreaming about you. Everything that we could have been. Such a shame, I was too scared to tell you that. Yes, I wanted you to stay. Every time I see you around, I wish I could travel in time to let you know that you've been mine. Has always been on my mind. Is it too late now? To tell you I could be the one who loved you forever, who loved you forever. Ooh, I've been smoking words, I've been smoking words. Oh baby, I'm lovesick, baby, I'm lovesick. Ooh, I've been smoking words. Smoking words. Oh baby, I'm lovesick. Baby, I'm lovesick.
I could see you've been hurt, hiding away from love. But trust me if I say I'm also full of scars. God's sake, I'm not willing to give up on you. For God's sake, don't move on. I'm the one for you. I'm sorry, cause I should have been less of a child. I did pretend that I didn't care for a while, but I was falling. Deep inside, I was falling for you. Is it too late now to tell you I could be the one who loved you forever? Who loved you forever? Smoking words. Oh baby, I'm lovesick. Baby, I'm lovesick. Ooh, I've been smoking words. I've been smoking words. I'm sitting here drinking every eve, cause I knew you felt the same way that I did. There are so many things that I should have said, but I was just standing there smoking words instead.
Ooh, I've been smoking words,
smoking words,
I've been smoking words,
smoking words.
Baby, I'm lovesick. Baby, I'm lovesick.
Smoking words,
smoking words,
I've been smoking words,
smoking words.
Baby, I'm lovesick. Baby, I'm lovesick.
All right, that was Smoking Words by Barbara Falzoni. If you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. But if you really like that song, you know, check her out. That's Barbara Falzoni. She's on Spotify, all the kind of good stuff. Her social medias. Again, the name is Barbara Falzoni, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, and then Falzoni, F-A-L-Z-O-N-I. Again, she was a guest on the show. Love promoting our artists as well as our guests and independent music. So again, that's the Smoking Words. Check her out, Barbara Falzoni. We are back here with my guest of the hour, actress, producer, voice artist, and the producer of the new film, The Carnal Soul, which is premiering March 28th at the Credo 23 Film Festival. If you want tickets, check out Credo, that's C-R-E-D-O, 23, filmfest.com. Again, here we are back here with Alexis Iacono. Welcome
Hello.
Back.
Hello.
All right, cool. Well, we got to talk about your earlier career, your upbringing, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, come on, time went by quick.
I know.
But and then you got to do a lot of voice artists, voice work, I'm going to say, voice artists. They did a lot of voice work from World of Warcraft, Fallout, Grand Theft Auto. You did the documentary, Long Live the King.
Yes.
What was that about, really?
So I talk about... actually, my childhood breakthrough on stage, I portrayed Fay Wray.
Oh, wow.
The Screaming Woman of King Kong, the original. I portrayed her life story. And at the time, I was at HB Studios, and I was doing, I think, an improv class. And it's usually a no-no for teachers to not favor, but, you know, outside auditions and stuff. But she pulled me to the side, Trudy Stibel, and she was like, look, I'm not really supposed to do this, but I want to talk to your parents. And I thought I did something wrong.
Yeah,
and long story short, they were holding auditions for this show called The Meadowlark. And it was in the paper.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it. And I auditioned. And Robert Crest was the director. And I auditioned in Chelsea. It was a good audition. And believe it or not, I was the runner-up. I didn't get it. I got the call and they said, look, you nailed it. You were great. You just, they, you know, that typical word, yeah. Which was true. They went another way. Apparently the mom did not want her daughter to like leave school for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And denied the role. And about like 4 hours later, they were like, so you're ready to go. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
And so it was in Warren, Pennsylvania, this beautiful opera house. What an experience. And, Fay Wray walked in.
Wow.
And she wound up directing it with Robert Crest.
Wow.
And there's photos of me, and you know, I knew Fay from that show all the way up until her death.
Wow.
We were pen pals, and in a hat box I have hundreds of letters.
Wow.
And we were always in touch every Thanksgiving, Christmas, you name it. And she this was actually years later. When I was doing MTV, I hit her up and I'm like, hey, I'm doing a show in LA and do you want to meet for lunch? And she's like, yeah. And she was already older. And so she picks me up. Gosh, no longer exists. It was called the Nico Hotel.
I know.
You remember Nico Hotel? Yeah. Okay. We were hooked up at the Nico Hotel and she picks me up in this big ass car and she's older already.
Yeah.
Technically, she shouldn't have been driving, but I boldly went into her car, and she floored it, and we drove up and down Sunset. She showed me everything, and she took me to Musso and Frank's,
wow.
And people knew her, and people freaked out, and yeah, that was my breakthrough as a young girl in the industry, and then I honed, you know, I was young, and then after the show, I honed my craft. And just went to school, just acting classes and Meisner technique. And I wasn't really that big on, you know, method, but I, you know, I dabbled in that. And then years and years I studied with Sandy Shuren. Bless her, she just passed. But I went to acting classes with, you know, Anthony Rapp and everyone who, at the time, Anthony was, you know, doing scenes from an up-and-coming show. It was Rent.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we got like 7 minutes left.
I know,
so
I know.
Let's talk about The Carnal Soul, which we got to talk about before, but like, you know, it's going to be premiering at the Credo 23 Film Festival.
Yes.
So tell the audience a little bit what this film is about, your involvement, and, you know, about this new film festival.
Well, I'm the producer, and Alex is the director and writer, Alex Esso.
Alex Esso. We'll
people get confused. And it's about Mort, who's played by Bob Gunton. Mm-hmm. And Bob Gunton is known for Shawshank Redemption, The Warden.
Yeah.
And he's an elder, and he's living alone. His wife passed, and he has some things he needs to get off his chest and visit his dying friend and has last words. And pretty much that's it. I can't give you the ending, But the writing was very well done. Alex hit me up about, shit, maybe 2 years now. Shit, a year and a half. Yeah, 2 years. And she's like, look, I just wrote this thing. Do you want to produce it? And I'm like, sure. And I read it. I'm like, let's do it. And we did. And oddly enough, you know, we were going through, you know, the list of actors. And the first thing, I mean, this is funny. Bob Gunton and I were friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
So it was like... So basically, it was like, I guess, a pun on words, but I was like, what about Bob? And yeah. So she's like, oh, my God. She's like, that would be, oh, my God, if we get him, that would be great. And I said, look, I don't like to do this, but I can gently, professionally reach out on Facebook. Yeah. He likes my stuff on, yeah. like, he likes posts yeah, yeah. that I do. And so she's like, you know what, let me reach out to a casting director friend of mine that's going to work on the film. I said, that's even better. And as fate would have it, the casting director literally just cast Bob in something.
Wow.
And so they all worked together. And, you know, script exchange. In the beginning, Bob said no, or his camp said no, because they thought it was another short. And then Bob was like, no, 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 I want to do this one.
Yeah.
And that was it. It wow. was really organic, all of it. And the other actor that plays the opposite is Dano Hanks, and he was an ex-PI, very well-known PI in Hollywood, and very Forrest Gump yeah. life of a guy that brought down some very heavy hitters, awesome. From surveillance to gangsters to all of them. So he has a book out now, and so he has a whole story of himself. But I know him very well, and I said, hey, Dano, you want to be in a film? He's like, yeah. He's actually in The Comeback Trail, George Gallo's movie with Robert De Niro, wow. Morgan Freeman, and everyone. So.
Well, what's it like working with Bob and Alex?
Amazing. Well, Alex, years I've known her, but you know, you never know. Yeah. You're friends with someone, you don't know who you're gonna if you get along with them working with. Oh, it was magnificent, and this is her first directorial debut, and you would never know. Yeah. And I'm not being biased, you know. I tell her to this day, she's a wonderful actress, and people that don't know her work, she's in the Flanagan-verse, I call. You know, yeah. she's been in a lot of movies and
TV shows.
Netflix TV shows, you name it. A wonderful actress, but she's home when she directs.
That's awesome.
And we got along beautifully. I mean, from cast to crew, it worked out beautifully.
And then is Bob what you expected to work with?
And then some.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, he was a delight, and he still is, and he's very supportive, and really, I not much to say. Like, it just worked out beautifully.
So now you're going to be in the Credo 23 Film Festival. Tell yes. us a little bit about this film festival.
Well, we've been accepted in a bunch, and we've been so honored to be part of all of them. But Credo 23 is very special because it's, you know, it's Justine Bateman's film mm-hmm. festival, and she is... I haven't met her yet. I can't wait. But she's real as it gets. Like, she's yeah. raw. She's a real filmmaker. Like, no AI allowed. Like, raw.
Yeah, because that's the difference between, I think, this film festival, because what I read about it, it's like no AI. Nothing.
No AI allowed. And her team behind her is just fantastic. And I said to Alex, I said, hey, oh, it was on Instagram. And I was following Justine Bateman or something where Credo came up, and I read, I'm like, hey, we need to submit this. I'm like, this would be amazing. And we got in.
That's
and
awesome.
Justine Bateman and her producing partner called personally and left a message on Alex's machine saying that we got in.
Wow.
And, you know, Alex is a busy girl. We're very close. Yeah. But when I saw her call me at like 9 o'clock at night, I'm like, something's up. Yeah. She was like, oh my God.
That's
so
awesome.
We're very honored. And then when we saw the slot, we were more honored. And I looked down the roster real quick. This is a nice circle, yeah. a whole full circle. So I'm looking down the roster, and forgive me, I forgot the title. I'm looking down the roster of filmmakers, and every film looks just beautiful. I can't yeah. wait to support all of it. But what caught my attention was Julie Campbell's daughter did a documentary, and people were like, who's Julie Campbell? Julie Campbell was the one that created this Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Wow.
Julie and my dad knew each other very well.
Wow.
And I knew Julie, and now Julie's daughter and I produced films and we're in the same festival.
Wow.
And she doesn't know, so I'm going to introduce myself and I'm going to freak out because like it's literally very interesting how that came full circle.
Is Julie still alive? No,
I think she passed. I think she passed, but her daughter did the documentary about her mom.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I just like it was so like my hair stood up. I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So
well, you know, I could get that really familiar with that. I was named after an actor my mom had a crush on when
Tyrone
she was a kid.
Powell?
Tyrone Power.
Powell, yeah, I was right.
Tyrone Power. Tyrone. There's a Tyrone Power. I don't know which one.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a Tyrone Power.
Oh.
And so years ago, I'm doing this event, and they said, would you want to interview Tyrone Power Jr., which is the son.
Oh, yeah.
And so when they introduced us, they're like, this is Tyrone. And he goes, I've never really met a Tyrone. And then he goes, oh, that's cool. That's interesting that your name is Tyrone. He goes, like, and it was that same feel. I go, my mom named me after your dad because she always liked your dad. Mm-hmm. And he's like, really? And so it was kind of cool, like that feeling, that kind of, you have this, not connection, like you know each other, but it was like there was, that all my life, I was known as, oh, why would you name me Tyrone? Like, what was that? That was, from Tyrone Power. And I never knew his work, really. I knew of him. And then finally, I see his son. So it's kind of like that thing, that same thing that you're...
Yeah, it's the same feeling. It's like, wow, this sort of came full circle.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. And it's next weekend, March 28th and 29th. We're very excited.
Awesome. So again, that's the Carnal Soul. Again, if you want tickets, go to credo23filmfest.com. That's Credo. That's C-R-E-D-O. 23filmfest.com. Again, credo23filmfest.com. And it's called the Credo Film Festival. And this film is called The Carnal Soul, produced by Alexis Iacono, and then directed by Alex Esso, and then starring Bob Gutton. And Dano Hanks is in this as well, and a lot. So awesome. Wow, we got to wrap up really quick. So about less than a minute. This show is about inspiring others. We want to inspire those. You've been an inspiration, and you've been inspired as well. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages, Alexis Iacono, can you give to someone out there that maybe wants to do what you do, become maybe an actress, producer, voice artist, or just follow their dreams in general?
Stop doing duck faces on Instagram and go to the movies. Just go to the movies, hone your craft. Stop being entitled and thinking you know it all. Shut up. It's so silly, but it's swimming with sharks. Shut up, listen, and learn. He's kind of right.
Got it. All right. Well, again, Alexis Iacono, thank you so much. It's great having you on. Time went by really quickly. God bless you. Again, the film is The Carnal Soul. Check it out. The Credo Film Festival. That's credo23filmfest.com. One more time, your social medias.
Instagram.
At?
Alexis Iacono, AlexisIacon, like in Nancy O.
All right. Well, God bless you guys both. I'm very, very proud of both you and Alex as well. And again, check out The Carnal Soul. And hopefully you guys come back. Again, God bless you guys. Thank you one more time. And God bless you guys all. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate all you guys. Always love you guys and appreciate all your guys' listenership as well as all the feedback you give me and the emails, all that kind of good stuff. I do get to read them. So thank you. God bless you guys all. And I'd like to end my show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.